This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mikan Scott. Aaron Beck and Martin Seligman have influenced and guided each other for decades, and their minds, in turn, have shaped and guided the field of psychology. They are both intellectual giants. Aaron Beck is known to his friends as Tim. He's a pioneer in modern psychiatry. He's known as the father of cognitive therapy. It's an approach that, simply put, teaches people to think and react in different ways. It's become one of the most used treatments for depression and anxiety. Martin Seligman is another major leader. He's the founder of positive psychology. That's a field that focuses on qualities like optimism and gratitude, and whether you can foster those qualities as a way to promote mental health. The two live in Philadelphia, and they get together regularly to talk and exchange ideas. They let reporter Alana Gordon sit in on their most recent encounter and tape it. So here's what happens when two such minds meet.
For more than a decade, Aaron Beck and Martin Seligman have been meeting in Beck's high-rise apartment right in the center of the historic Rittenhouse neighborhood of Philadelphia.
Have I seen you since the last time I was in England? Well, I've got a lot to report to you then about England.
That is Martin Seligman. He's seated catty-corner to Beck at a table near big windows. There's a pitcher of water, light snacks.
Looks like there's some peanut brittle and things. You want something, Tim?
No, thanks.
Seligman is 73. Aaron Beck, who friends call Tim, is 94. Both have white hair. Beck's got on a cream-colored button-up sweater. He wears glasses and is in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Seligman's got on a casual blue short-sleeve polo shirt. He leans in when Beck speaks.
Anyhow, I did want to fill you in on the very latest finding that we had.
The two call this monthly ritual a meeting of the minds.
On the positive symptoms, and they developed a good approach to delusions and hallucinations.
Oh, what? I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
The conversation meanders.
It seems to me good psychotherapy is second-person empathy. And that when I think about what a bad therapist I was, a lot of it was because it was I was doing first-person empathy, that I'd kind of leap to, well, how would I feel if my wife did that, as opposed to, you know, how...
At times, it takes a personal turn. Seligman's daughter just got married.
He's a lawyer. And kind of a,
they even talk a little politics.
Yeah, what are you making of the Trump stuff these days?
Well, you know, I kind of vary in how I analyze him. But first of all...
But the threats always seem to connect back to this fundamental thing they've spent their entire lives exploring, the mind.
Yeah.
And the second thing was that I found from my work with depression that negative attitudes about themselves and the future and so on can have a very profound effect.
Beck is a trailblazer in this way of thinking called cognitive therapy. It's an approach that's generally built on the premise that how a person thinks can determine how he or she feels and even behaves. It's been tested out in controlled studies. Here's Seligman.
So until Tim came along, coming out of Freud, the basic belief about emotion was that what was real was this ocean of emotion, and that kind of drove the spray at the end of cognition. And so cognition was driven by emotion. And Tim came along, and the contribution in a nutshell is, no, cognition drives emotion. What you consciously think really matters, and it's changeable.
That's right.
Nowadays, Beck has been looking into how to apply this approach to people who have schizophrenia. He's been leading interventions in psychiatric hospitals and jails.
And so we constructed a therapy that we call the recovery-oriented cognitive therapy because it's still...
Recovery-oriented cognitive therapy.
Because it's still based on the notion of dysfunctional attitudes. But the way you change the attitudes is to get the people to do normal things.
Seligman thinks what Beck is doing right now is his best work yet.
The pits.
Right. This is a group of people who are totally segregated, they're controlled, and they don't get better. So unlike a lot
of the studies, Seligman and Beck go way back. In the early 70s, Beck was a mentor to Seligman. But Seligman veered away from the traditional clinical approach that focuses on treating the symptoms of an illness.
So about 20 years ago, I gave it up and started to work on the good life and happiness and what makes life worth living.
This is a core to Seligman's positive psychology approach. He's developed trainings that have been used in schools around the world. He's had contracts with the military.
And so for me, happiness and well-being are a lot more than just the absence of depression or anxiety or anger. So for me, the positive life is a very real, distinct matter. And Tim has spent his whole life thinking about, as a psychiatrist, by definition, pathology and what's wrong. And I think about what's right very often.
The two have different frameworks, but both say they've never gotten into real disagreements during these meetings. Beck admits that Seligman has influenced and even changed his approach over the course of these discussions.
My perspective was people are like a garden, and if the garden is overrun with weeds, it's very important to get the weeds out. And once you've gotten them out, then the flowers will blossom. They'll just draw from the natural elements in the soil.
So Beck thought treating the symptoms of depression and anxiety makes people better.
Yeah. Whereas I don't think people are naturally happy or blossoming. I think that's just as much a skill as not being crazy.
Right. But then, partly as a result of my conversations with Marty, I shifted towards finding the people's strengths. And if you build up their strengths and get them to do things that they enjoy and that are meaningful to them and set goals with them, then the symptoms start to disappear.
Even though the two use this space as a chance to challenge and develop their own perspectives, Seligman, who at 73 is the younger one, says for him, there's an even bigger lesson to these meetings.
For me, a meeting with Tim once a month to talk about our latest ideas is not only one of the great treats in life, but it's a model for how to age.
Aaron Beck turns 95 this month. He makes it a point to regularly meet with friends, colleagues, and students.
Keep me going. I'm fairly limited in how much I can do. And I can't read anymore, so I listen to books. And I can't go to the movies or theater or opera or any of those things. So I make it up with intellectual stimulation.
So I'm back the last week in July.
The two wrap up their discussion after about an hour.
Then I've got the Marine generals at the Navy Yard, and then I'm home.
Wow.
They plan their next date.
Let's see. Would Wednesday work well for you?
Yeah, I think I'll go back and check my calendar.
Seligman shares one more thought.
Have you listened to Maria Doria Russell's novel about Doc Holliday?
No.
I think you'd like it.
So this is great. Give Mandy my best.
Good to see you.
Congratulations.
They bid goodbye, and then they part, making mental notes, I would imagine, of where they hope to pick up when their minds meet again next.
Okay.
Thank you.
For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.